We had four students lined up to do today's Youth Speaks Out from Waytonville. One of them, Maddie, was already in Willits. Three of them were driving down. That's Mitzi, Colton, and Joseph. And a car drifted off the road just north of Waytonville and ran head-on into their car. They're all okay, but they've all gone to the hospital to get checked out. And it doesn't seem like anyone has serious injuries, but head-on collisions whack you. So send whatever positive energy you have to Mitzi, Colton, and Joseph. And we're really sorry that they're not here to be part of this show. Maddie Brott has bravely said that she will do the show, and I'm going to help co-host it. What we're going to do is run through the first part of the show as we had it planned, sort of, except it's just Maddie. And then we want to open the phone lines earlier so that we can hear from you, your ideas about education outside the classroom. So I think I covered all this stuff. So on with the show, Maddie Brott.
Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Maddie, and Dan Roberts. I am a senior at Laytonville High School this year. Today our topic is education outside the classroom. As the start of the school year rapidly approaches, we would like to discuss with you in the listening audience what is involved in the learning process. There are many theories about learning, and teachers study the subject in college. As we grow up, we all develop a sense of how we learn most effectively. This summer, I have had the good fortune to be involved in activities that greatly expanded my knowledge. I spent time in Texas shadowing staff at a heart trauma center and a hospital. I watched surgical procedures, witnessed heart attacks, and assisted in preparing patients for surgery. It was intense and exciting, and I learned a great deal about all aspects of healthcare. I also learned about the role of religion in Texas.
And Mitzi Pearson was going to... And Mitzi Pearson was going to say, I had the opportunity to travel to China and Paris. Though I have been in China before, I learned many new aspects about the cultural differences between an emerging nation and the United States. One difference was the physical layout of markets in tents rather than stores, a condition that we would consider unsanitary. Another was a lack of freedom, where possession of a book could lead to an authoritarian crackdown. And schools that are very strict, making me wonder if children there had childhoods. On the other hand, in Paris, I witnessed a Parisian lifestyle with all its freedom, style, and taste, and a little bit of the arrogance as well. Also, a country with universal health care. Experiencing China and Paris revealed many things about my childhood in Laytonville and the range of lifestyles in the 21st century. Joseph White was going to talk about, I had the opportunity to learn how to split firewood real well. I had many long discussions with friends and had numerous philosophical insights, including how much of our happiness is a result of escapism. I have been interested in computer programming for years, but just now see that the mathematics are some of the mathematics behind it. Now I am motivated to focus on further education so I can accomplish more. And I realized how important intense physical exercise is, like splitting firewood. Colton Gover spent much of his summer attending pre-law summer programs and seminars, workshops, internships in Washington, D.C.
We all found that traveling and seeing how people live in different places gives insights to the culture that we call home. This process is called experiential learning. No books, no classroom, no teacher. The experience of living in a different environment leads to a reflection and comparison of where we came from. If we analyze the differences after immersion in the different culture, we can have a more complete learning experience. Each year at Laytonville High School, seniors are offered to join in travel education called Senior Experience. A group of students with some teacher facilitators visit another part of the United States and as a group share a learning experience. This is called experiential education. In recent years, our high school seniors have visited Washington, D.C. and Boston. By traveling as a group and sharing what the students and teachers learn, we can have a more formal type of education. Sometimes this is called hands-on education, like what I experienced shadowing staff at the Heart Trauma Center in hospital, or what Colton did in role-playing courtroom scenarios.
Leslie Owen Wilson from the University of Wisconsin has written that there are four main types of learning: transmission, acquisition, accretion, and emergence. Transmission is the process by which information, knowledge, ideas, and skills are taught to others through purposeful, conscious telling, demonstration, and guidance. Over the course of a lifetime, this method accounts for only about 10% of learning. Unfortunately, this is the most traditional and currently the most dominant method of instruction. Acquisition is the conscious choice to learn. Material in this category is relevant to the learner. This method includes exploring, experimenting, self-instruction, inquiry, and general curiosity. Currently, acquisition accounts for about 20% of what we learn. Accretion is the gradual, often subconscious or subliminal process by which we learn things like language, culture, habits, prejudices, and social rules and behaviors. We are usually unaware that the processes involved in accretion are taking place, but this method accounts for about 70% of what we know. Social learning certainly plays into this type of learning, as does the hidden or covert curriculum. Emergence is the result of patterning, structuring, and construction of new ideas and meanings that did not exist before, but which emerge from the brain through thoughtful reflection, insight, and creative expression or group interactions. This method is generally dependent on the allocation of time and opportunity to reflect and construct new knowledge. This method plays an important role in inspiration and originality. In the context of current educational practices, we learn only 1-2% by this method.
What we want to discuss today is opportunities for learning outside the classroom and how we could apply different methods in the classroom to expand the effectiveness and enjoyment of high school. Rick Kale leads the seminar class at Laytonville High School that takes a fresh approach to education. Laytonville High School uses a block schedule which allows a more in-depth experience in many subjects. Because Laytonville is a small school, there are limits on the number of elective courses available. There are some businesses in Laytonville that provide practical educational opportunities outside the classroom. We will start off today's program by a more in-depth look of what our learning experiences were this summer. Then we'll open up the phone lines for our questions, insights. For your questions, insights, and your experiences, we are in the Willits studio, and our number is 707-456-9991.
So, Maddie Brott, describe what you did this summer in Houston.
I was actually in West Texas in Odessa, and I was with a family member, and she runs the cath lab center in the high school, or in the hospital in Odessa, and which is the heart section of the hospital. And I shadowed in that section of the hospital mostly and learned about heart attacks and different procedures with the heart. I got to see ultrasounds of the heart through the mouth and over the chest, so I could see and I also saw different kind of ultrasounds. I saw a few surgeries. I saw a hysterectomy, and I saw a man that went through the, he was getting an x-ray and a CAT scan, and he was in a trauma accident, and the trauma surgeon invited me up to watch his surgery. So I saw them sew up his scalp and fix his legs, and then he went in under, he was still under, and he went under to go see the internal bleeding, and there were a lot of things wrong with him, and I actually watched him pass away on the table after they were giving him CPR for 2 minutes, and that was a learning experience. Everyone was worried about me because they didn't know if I'd seen anyone pass away before. I learned a lot from my godmother who I was staying with. She would ask me questions about, because she would have a meeting and I would go off with the nurses and she would ask me when she got back, so what did you learn? And she taught me a lot of things about the heart and how it runs and what happens when the heart attack happens. And I actually was there on call for a night, and at 2 o'clock in the morning we got called in for a heart attack, and right after we finished with that guy there was another one, so I was there at the hospital till 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got to experience things that most people don't get to, and I was very fortunate. There was this one guy with a heart attack, and he actually had chest pain, and he was driving himself to the hospital, and he died on the way to the hospital right next to it, and he ran into the hospital, and they came out and gave him CPR, and when your heart stops working for that long of a period, they put you under in hypothermia, so you're...
Which is...
So how they do it is they give you a shot that cools down your system and cools it down to 87 degrees, I think. And they also put ice over your chest and your legs, and they are practically in a coma for a few days. And it helps the heart get stronger, and it doesn't have to work as hard. And hopefully in the next few days, when they take the patient out of hypothermia and they warm them back up, they'll come back alive, and their heart will work on its own. So I learned a lot when I was there.
So your godmother is a physician?
No, she is a nurse, and she now is the director of the cath lab at the hospital, which is the heart section. She's a cardiac nurse.
So how did she know that you'd be interested in doing that? I mean, I think there's a lot of people your age that would go, oh, I don't think I want to go hang out in the hospital.
Well, a friend of mine went and stayed with my godmother last summer and shadowed the anesthesiologist because she was interested in that. And I thought, well, I might want to do ultrasound, be an ultrasound tech, or I might want to do this. So I went down and stayed with her for a week, and I got to shadow everything. I got to shadow an anesthesiologist, the trauma surgery, just different doctors to do heart procedures, and I got to shadow an ultrasound tech, and I actually figured out that I don't want to be an ultrasound tech, and I actually liked other things more. So I'm not really sure if I'm going to go into the medical field, but it is very interesting, and I learned a lot down there.
Okay, and in shadowing, that's just like standing behind a person and watching everything they do?
Yep. During the procedures down in the cath lab, So everyone would be in, the nurses would be in the room with the doctor, and then there was a big window that the operators were on the other side, and people who were typing in numbers and stuff, I don't know what they were doing, but I would stay out there with them in that little room, and I would just ask them questions, and they would talk to me about it. But I did go in a few surgeries. I put the lead on, they call it lead, it protects you from x-rays. And I got to watch some procedures in the room, and that's that trauma surgery. I got to scrub up and get inside the room, and I watched it up close. And I got to talk to them a lot. It is crazy when something is happening like that, but there's also people who will take the time to explain to you and take you around and show you what's happening and explain what's happening. And I thought that was really cool. I met a bunch of people down there that are really cool. Like, the hospital environment is like a big family. Like, everyone just is, it's a good group of people, and they have a lot of fun together, and they are really good work. They work together really well, and I liked the environment.
Yeah, well, the team effort at a hospital is absolutely essential, that everybody, because, I mean, such tragic, intense things are happening, and everybody has to stay focused. I was going to say calm. I don't know if everybody stays calm, but they stay focused enough that they know what they're supposed to do. And that's great that they allowed you to do that. And I'm sure that they pointed out, when they had time to point things out, what exactly it was that they were doing and why they were doing it. So you're saying that you're not so sure you want to be in the medical profession now?
I thought I wanted to be an ultrasound tech, and I was really interested in it. And once I shadowed an ultrasound tech, I really like looking at the pictures and stuff, but it is a little boring for me. Like, I would like to do more things with my hands instead of taking pictures and measuring on the measuring on the screen different parts of the body and stuff. I like more interesting things that change a lot instead of just looking at an ultrasound screen. Mm-hmm. I like just the more exciting, heart-throbbing things in the hospital.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that doesn't rule you out of the medical profession at all. I mean, there's lots of jobs that, I mean, there is, you know, a lot of slow down stuff in the medical profession, but there's a lot of jobs that my ex-wife used to work in an emergency room, and they'd have long periods of nothing going on, and then suddenly totally on for hours sometimes, you know.
Some of the nurses told me about some crazy stories about weird ER experiences and different people who came in with the weirdest thing that they could think of that would happen to someone. So it was interesting to hear about stories and learn.
So what else did you learn about by being in Texas? What's different about Texas from, say, Laytonville?
Okay, so I didn't grow up really religious, but I was baptized Lutheran, I guess I could say. And then, but in Texas, they're really into religion and football, from what I understand. So, when I get to Texas and everyone is, really into, God, or they're really Christian, it's really intimidating, and I don't really know how to take it and process it and talk back to them about it. So, and a lot of the times when people go down there and they don't follow a religion, the Christians want to save you, per se. And Brenda did a good job, my godmother, of telling them, well, Maddie isn't really sure about her religion, but she was baptized Lutheran, so she's just going to tell everyone she was baptized Lutheran, and then they'll leave her alone. So...
What else about people in Texas is, okay, so there's sports. Sports are big, and religion is something that a lot of people there do talk about, in the same way that people talk about baseball or football here. You know, it's just kind of, it's the current topic all the time. But what else can you, any gross generalizations you want to make about people in Texas that made you look at Laytonville in a different way?
Well, I love people in Texas. I'm nothing against Texas. But it is a different environment to grow up in. Like in school in Texas, they have Bible classes and stuff. And in Laytonville, I've I don't think they've ever had that. We have churches.
You mean at the public school they have Bible classes?
Yes. Public schools, they have Bible classes and different classes about religion. And it's just, it's a lot of, it's in their education a lot more. And in Laytonville, we don't really learn about that unless we grew up with it with our parents or grandparents and went to church. There are churches in Laytonville, but I've never gone to church before unless it was with a family member in some other town. It broadened my mind to how other people learn in different states or different, like, down in Texas, it's the Bible Belt, so they're really into religion, and the schools get into it, and colleges are into it, and everyone grew up around it. But in Laytonville, I didn't grow up around it, that major religion.
How about the music that people listen to? Did you catch very much of it driving in a car? Or
no, I mean, just regular country and. Just,
you know, whereas you might think that maybe reggae was a common kind of music up here and rock.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of country down there. I see a lot of trucks and Wranglers and country music.
So, okay, if you could, again, this is going to be asking you to make a gross generalization, but the amount that you learned, you said you were at the trauma center hospital for a week.
Yes.
The amount that you learned in that period, how much time in high school would you have spent to accumulate the same amount of knowledge?
Well, I liked seeing it in person, and it was learning just watching everything in person. And if I were to learn that in a classroom, we would have to look at pictures and maybe some videos on YouTube or something. And that would be a long time, and it wouldn't be as interesting, because when I was at the hospital, it I understood it more, and it was more interesting, so I was really into it the whole time. And if I was in a classroom, I would get really bored. I would get very bored because it was very complex stuff that I was learning down there.
Did you ever get bored when you were at the hospital?
No, I mean, when they were scheduling the procedures at the hospital, some would be, let's say, at 7 in the morning or 11, and then there would be a break from lunch on to 5 o'clock. So, but I didn't get bored. The nurses down in the cath lab probably got bored, but I didn't, because I roamed out of the cath lab and I asked if I could shadow this person or this person. Like, if there was, between that 5-hour period of time, if there was a surgery going on, I would ask to go watch the surgery. Or if the ultrasound tech was out, I would ask to go shadow the ultrasound tech just to, I mean, see other things and kind of fill up that time that I had, that free time that I had. But the nurses down there at the cath lab were so great that I just visited with them too when they had free time.
So in what ways could high schools change the way they teach so that it would be, I mean, I know the experience, I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but experiences I had where I was learning something at this intense rate, partly because it was new and really exciting and it was right in front of me and all that. But, you know, I remember so much in high school being, I guess I'd say bored, but at least not being able to stay conscious about what I was supposed to be doing. I just kind of zone out. And when I work in the high schools, I try and make my presentations pretty exciting so the kids don't zone out. But I know that the regular teachers who are there 5 days a week, you can't be, you know, on stage the whole time. And has it made you think of any ways that, high school could change its methods or that would make it more interesting?
Well, I have heard of a class that Willits High School and Ukiah High School does. I'm not sure if anyone else does it, probably, but they have a class called Scrubs. And the Scrubs class is able to shadow, even if they're under 18, they can shadow at the hospital in nursing or the doctors or anesthesiologist or ultrasound tech. They can shadow and they can work in the hospital while in high school for a class. And I think that is a great experience to learn because it's hands-on and it's actually in the field. And instead of, if someone isn't as fortunate as I was to go to the hospital and shadow, and they want to go in the medical field, but they don't have that experience, then once they get there, they might not like it. They need to know what they're going to be doing and what it's going to be like working in a hospital, the hours that they have to work. Like, I was on call from 11 o'clock to 4 in the morning, and that was... And then they had to go back to work at 7, the next 7, 3 hours later. So that was... that would not be my favorite thing to do at a hospital. And even though the kids at the high school wouldn't be working in those hours of the day for class Scrubs, but... even if they worked at the clinic for a period, it would help to see what they are interested in, or it would help them learn a lot better because it would be actually in the field and they wouldn't get bored in a classroom.
Well, I would think that this is true for just about every occupation there is. I mean, you could shadow a carpenter and learn a whole lot, you know. I mean, if they were just, you know, putting studs together in a wall, then eventually, you know, you'd be full of that. But then things do keep changing when you're doing construction or pouring cement or roofing or working in a restaurant, seeing how, I mean, it just seems like the more opportunities that were presented like that to shadow people and occupations, because so much, this is my opinion only, it seems like so much of the high school is just happening between your ears. There's nothing, you know, there's a book, there's something on the wall, there's somebody talking, but it isn't a practical thing that's actually occurring. Nothing is being created or made or changed. And, I mean, that's the way we educate, you know, that form that, I mentioned that was called accretion, where it's kind of like absorption, you know, it's like osmosis or something, that you you keep doing this thing over and over again, and you're not even thinking about that that's what's happening. You know, it's like how we teach mathematics and stuff. You know, it's a real shame, and again, I want to tell you that we're missing three of our hosts because they were in a car accident. They're okay, although they went to the hospital to get checked out because it was a severe impact. They were hit by a car coming the other way whose driver had fallen asleep. And Mitzi talked about the traveling to China and Paris, and that, you know, just being there and interacting with people changes, you know, your perception of where you live. And you guys all live in a pretty amazing place, Laytonville, and even outside of Laytonville. I mean, Laytonville is rural, and then you get rural Laytonville. Just to see how cultures, that they don't have to form the way that we do in America. You know, it's really, really different in other countries. And traveling to me has always been totally educational. And Colton did his, summer programs in law, which was being a judge, being, you know, a defense lawyer, and practicing all these things, you know, going through cases and stuff like that, where you get an actual experience. And Joseph was interesting in that he talked about the splitting firewood, because he hadn't really done that much firewood splitting before, and that it put him into this mental space where he got more philosophical. And I totally understand that. You get into a special place after you cut firewood for an hour or two. You know, it's a mind-altering experience, and that he came up with realizations. But then also that he's been fooling around with computer programming for a number of years and started to see the mathematics behind it, and all of a sudden came to the realization that if he really wants to be involved in computer programming, he's going to have to go and study the mathematics behind it. So he ended up being more motivated for higher education. So we're about halfway through the show now. So
we're going to open up the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth and teachers in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about learning beyond the classroom. What were your greatest learning experiences during summer vacation? How did it compare to your classroom education? If you worked during the summer, was learning a new skill as interesting as going to school?
Did you have any classroom experiences that were really exciting and made school something to look forward to? What was different about them? Did you ever have a class in learning how to learn? Ever have a seminar class in high school? If you are a teacher, what methods do you use to stimulate interest in the classroom? Are there some subjects that are more difficult to excite the students about? And how do you feel about block scheduling? Does it help?
If you are a student, tell us about your learning experiences this summer. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on education outside the classroom and strategies for making learning more exciting. Please call soon. The show will be over at 4 o'clock.
All right, we have a call already. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi. This.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I wanted to talk about my experience this summer. I was able to teach young children in VBS, Vacation Bible School. And I realized that what gets their attention is being able to participate. So I had to teach them a lot of stuff, and being able to get them to participate was what made them understand and learn. And many of them were able to remember what I was teaching them by being able to participate in the class. So I think participation in class is very important.
So, honey, what did you learn about your own ability, the way you learn from teaching? Did you notice that you learned anything?
Yeah, it taught me how to learn in class, because I didn't actually realize that teaching children would teach me. But I realized that if I ask questions, if I'm able to do hands-on learning as opposed to just sitting and listening in the class, then I'm able to remember it more. So being able to teach children and watch how they learn, I was able to learn how I can also learn.
Are there opportunities to, while you're going to high school, to go and teach at the grade school?
When I was a freshman, I used to tutor some middle schoolers, but after that, my schedule became a little complicated, so I couldn't teach them anymore. But I enjoyed tutoring when I was a freshman. And I think the program continued. I'm not sure how long it has continued, if it is still on, but I know when I was a sophomore, there was opportunity to teach at the elementary school and middle school.
Yeah, I believe they still have that program. I did that when I was a freshman. I too.
And I also think, you know, the buddy group, I think that's also another way of teaching children. It's not really formal, but it's an informal way of teaching younger children.
And even being a peer counselor,
yeah,
will teach you.
I remember when we went to the middle school to teach the sixth graders about bullying. That was also another way of teaching them, and they were very responsive to that. Hearing from students teaching them rather than adults, it made them maybe see people closer to their age, or I don't really know the deal behind that, but they were more responsive to the high schoolers rather than the adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we all look at older people. I don't get to look at too many older people anymore, but you know, when you're young and when somebody who's like your parents' age is in front of you telling something, it's you still have this dynamic of, you know, that's that parent, that's that generation talking to me rather than an equal. You know, it's just the whole concept of peer counseling is like such a good idea. Peer teaching. I know it's been experimented with in different ways at different times at Laytonville High School. And, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy teaching younger children. I want to be a pediatrician. And being able to have such opportunities just gives me an insight into what I will be doing as a pediatrician.
Well, great. You're going to be a pediatrician. Cool. So do you have any, do you know of any summer jobs that, like shadowing, like what Maddie got to do?
Well, I worked at the Healthy Step program. That's also working with kids. I volunteered to take care of the children during that time, and we had activities that we did. So it was basically almost like babysitting children, but in a more structured form.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And, I also did a program with Gravia Tire and Auto. They allowed me to work on cars and see how the general making of cars, how you repair cars, just little problems that come up. So that was one of the things I did. That was actually one of the highlights of my summer. I enjoyed doing that. And I did that during the school year, too.
Wow, that's great. That's really, really great.
Yes.
Okay, well, we have another call. Thanks a lot for calling in, honey.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello, you're on KZYX.
Hi, Dan. Jeff Wright on the Mendocino Coast. Hi, Maddie. And I was just heartbroken to hear about the three hosts that couldn't be there this afternoon. I'd like to ask you before I raise this issue I have, if you could repeat their names again so that we can all send positive energy out to them.
Okay, well, it's Mitzi and Colton and Joseph.
Well, I want to, on the air, wish them the best in rapid healing and safe journeys in the future, and I hope that they have no injuries that are long-lasting in recovery. Yeah. And get back on the road, so to speak, and be well and ready for school and your futures. I heard something on Counterspin this morning on KMUD, which they play actually at 1 in the afternoon, and it was very interesting in that there's some folks that have been putting out this Waiting for Superman movie. They've got a new one out. And they talked about, the story was about folks in Adelanto, California, which is in the county I used to live in, San Bernardino, I lovingly call it. And I saw some of the stuff going on in what would be like MCOG here, their council of government, mm-hmm. where they were trying to promote these charter schools. And it's a very right-wing, Republican-oriented area. They got people to sign petitions for fewer people in the classrooms, and they got people to sign up for charter schools. Well, they didn't turn in the fewer kids in the classroom deal petitions, and they did on the charter schools. And the people who signed those felt like they had been tricked and shortchanged. And a judge in San Bernardino County, who they did not name, I probably appeared in front of him, I would bet, if I found out his name or her, but they didn't give the judge's name. The judge ruled that they couldn't rescind their own signatures. And I just found that to be awful. And so these charter schools went through, and they weren't as advertised. So I would like to ask you, Maddie, what do you know about these charter schools, and what is your feeling about them and your peers? What does your generation think about what's going on? I would suggest, even though the movie may be propaganda, that you look at it and watch it with that in mind and really learn from how they use trickery and deceit under the color of teachers' rock and celebrating teachers. They really misled a lot of teachers and actors who endorsed it and thought they were being brought on board for something that didn't turn out to be as advertised. And as always, Dan, thank you for this great program.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that issue that went on with the charter schools, but what I've heard about charter schools, they have a great learning program because there's less kids in the classroom, and I've heard the teachers are awesome, and you really get those, you get very good classes through charter schools, I've heard, very advanced classes that will be better for your college career or career out of high school. And I've had a lot of kids or a lot of friends enjoy going to the charter school because there's a more hands-on, less students in the classroom, and it's a fun learning experience. And I've heard that they enjoy it. I haven't heard of that. What was talking about the movie?
Waiting for Superman, I think.
Yes, I haven't heard of that, actually. But what I've heard of charter schools.
Are there any charter schools in Laytonville?
No, there's no charter schools. I don't think there's just the public elementary and middle school. And
Willits has
Willits Charter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have friends that go there, and friends that have graduated from there, and they have had classes that are not offered at Willits High School that are more advanced, and not more advanced, like you have to be smarter, but they're classes that are more fitting to them, the people that go there, and they are good classes, I've heard, and good teachers. And
well, I think that that's true, but counteractively or contradictorily, however you say it, they also don't have some classes, and they don't have sports, which to a lot of kids is really a negative to not have a physical, you know, program like that. And there's a problem with allowing Willits Charter School kids to use the regular school facilities. They don't let them do that, which is really too bad, because you know, like Joseph said in this thing, you know, it's like the physical thing, it's important to be developing your body. I didn't really get PE when I was going to school. I thought, you know, we could just sit in classrooms and walk to the next classroom, and that was okay, and spend the day like that. Whereas I think part of the idea was that, you know, exercising is a good thing. It kind of clears your bloodstream, gets more oxygen into you, and, you know, keeps you in shape and stuff like that. So listen, we're looking for phone calls at 456-9991. Did you have any experiences out there in the listening audience in the summertime that, or, you know, away from a classroom that really changed the way you looked at the world? Or, I mean, travel is one thing. I was going to say, Mark Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. Spoken by a guy that got to travel a lot, but which isn't available to everybody. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I grew up in Mendocino County and grew up on a small ranch and also had the opportunity to do a lot of travel with my family. And just being able to work with your hands on a ranch, animals, really has a lot of value. I think Maddie also has had some of that in her experiences. And Colton to some extent, and Mitzi, of course, with her travels. These kids have been so fortunate to be able to do what they do. I also went to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, which is a hands-on, learn-by-doing school. And they pride themselves in having the most learn-by-doing, biggest learn-by-doing curriculum in almost America. And it just is a wonderful way to learn, especially if you're a visual learner like I was. I used to have to tell my instructors, you know, if you can show me how this works, I'll get it. So it was a really interesting way to learn, and good for me.
When did you learn that you were a visual learner, and how did you learn that?
I just think I was a slow reader, and being a slow reader, it can be really intimidating. What I would do is transfer that, you know, the energy that I would put into reading, which was very difficult and very time-consuming. I had a roommate in college who would get up and read a novel in the morning between 5 p.m. and 7 a.m. before she went to work. And it was very intimidating. But if I could see the way it worked and manipulate things, I could get that. And my roommate knew that, so she could help me. She was very good at reading people.
Yeah, well, I guess generally the general belief is that there's four kinds of learning. There's visual, tactile, kinesthetic, and audio. And
I was tactile. I don't know. Well, all I know is that I knew that to succeed in my math classes, my chemistry classes, my economics classes, that if I could tell the instructor, my statistics classes, they were terribly intimidating and very challenging. If I could have some time with the instructor and communicate with them, that I had to see it change. I had to see the product change with the numbers.
Well, just
I would get it.
Just before the show, a student, a young man who's been a host on this show, Dannon, stopped by, and he mentioned that at Willits High School when he was a freshman, they had a course in learning how to learn, which a number of people, including myself, have pushed the schools to try and do that, just where you'd – I had it when I was in the eighth grade. They had us take tests so we'd figure out what type of learner we were. And it just gives you this insight into yourself, into, you know, if you're trying the wrong method of learning, it's more frustrating than if you're trying the one that's most appropriate for you. And anyway, so what did you study at Cal Poly?
Ag business and wine marketing.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so and the classes where I could work and with my hands and work and get out and do things were my most valuable classes. I remember having a meat cutting class where, you know, we had probably 30 kids in our class, and the instructor was really, really interesting and a lot of fun and very funny. And we had a live lab. We had a slaughter lab on campus, and there were probably 20 males and 10 females. And by the way, that number has flipped completely in this day and age in the class. And everybody had to wear helmets, and the guys didn't want to wear helmets. And the instructor said, "You will wear helmets because every person who's ever fainted in my class has been a fool." And when it came time to, because of my livestock experience and stuff like that, when it came time to, you know, who's going to step up and you know, make the first cut on this animal, I mean, this is the food chain. This is reality.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to do it? And everybody sat on their hands. And I used to watch, you know, I used to watch John Pinches process our sheep on my grandfather's farm. And my grandmother would say, "How can you do that?" And I'd come in and eat dinner right afterwards. It was interesting to me, and I think I would have made a great doctor, but at the time I was afraid of math, and I was afraid of blood. And now I'm really, you know, living it. So
this brings up, thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome.
Maddie, why don't you talk a little bit about the 4-H and FFA and stuff like that that you do? Because that's definitely hands-on education.
So 4-H is an organization out of school, but FFA is Future Farmers of America, and that's through your high school. there's classes that you can take, ag classes, and but we don't have FFA in Laytonville, so I am in 4-H. And in 4-H, I've learned a great deal about animals and hands-on, like, and also growing up, before I was in 4-H, I mean, my dad, when he would go hunting, and he would bring back a buck, and we would help skin it and stuff, and then we would butcher, or we would slaughter our own steers, and I was used to playing in the blood, or, like, playing with the hooves afterwards, or breaking the blood clots and stuff, and that didn't bother me at all. And in 4-H, I've dissected a lot of animals, and butchered, or slaughtered a bunch of animals, and it made my stomach stronger, and it's helped, because when I talk to people that I don't know, and I bring up slaughtering something or killing something, and they're like, oh my gosh, how can you do that? And I just grew up around it, and I think 4-H is a great opportunity for kids, because, I mean, I am a country kid, I'm not a city kid, and I wouldn't be afraid of seeing a little blood. And it's, I love 4-H. It's the best thing that's happened, that I've done outside of school, because I've learned so much about animals, and I've met so many friends, and just know a bunch of people I can call for help or anything like that.
And so what was it that you had at the livestock auction this year?
I had a market lamb this year. I gave myself a little break and only took one animal to fair.
How many have you taken in the past?
Well, I've been in 4-H for 10 years, but I've taken 7 market animals, one each year. Market goats, market sheep, market steers. I've bred my own goats and sheep and steers and sold them so they can go to market as well with other kids. I've sold animals to other 4-H members. And I've also taken breeding goats, breeding sheep, breeding cows to fair. And I've shown them at jackpot shows, like little shows before fair that aren't 4-H related. And next year I'm taking my own market steer for my own breeding, and I'm selling my other 2 calves that I bred as well to other 4-H members to take to fair.
Wow. Okay, we have time for probably one more call at 456-9991. I kind of spaced out the whole ranching as a classroom, you know, education outside the classroom. That's absolutely there in this area. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I am fascinated by your program. I was very fortunate in that my parents really believed in that the most important thing they could teach me was to love learning. And so I was really lucky there. But I realize that not everybody has the opportunities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great listening to all these great ideas and stuff. And it's so cool that you got to do your hospital shadowing, Maddie. That sounds really awesome. I'm training to be an EMT myself, because my parents taught me it's fun to keep learning. But what I was really wanting to get back to was, Dan, you had mentioned about the class, about learning how to learn, and about people's different learning styles, and how much, if I had any advice to the young out there or to parents of young people, is to just teach, to learn how you learn. Figure out how to make it exciting, what motivates you, because the older you get and the more things you have and responsibilities in life and things to remember, you have to keep excited about it. You have to find out a way to keep it exciting for you, because you can, you know, yeah, you might be lucky to go to a school with lots of electives, or to have a charter school option, or to get to go, you know, your experience being raised on a ranch. But, you know, a lot of kids just, you know, they don't have those beneficial opportunities. So that's what I want to say to people. It's got to be self-motivated. You got to find out where it comes from inside yourself and be able to keep it going.
Absolutely. Do you have anything?
Thank you. I learned at a young age that the easiest way for me to learn is either like visual or hands-on, and a lot of the teachers at Laytonville, thankfully, have taught the kids and really encouraged, our science teacher, Mr. Potter, does a really great job of drawing pictures when someone doesn't understand something, and he has them draw a picture, like, right in front of him and explain it right there in front of him. And a lot of the times when I don't get something, he said, just draw a picture, Maddie, or just write it out and then come back to me and see if it's right. And then if you don't get it right, just keep studying and then write it out again. Don't go to a test and say, oh, or don't look at the study guide and say, oh, I know that answer, and skip it. You always have to write it down just in case, because when you get to the real test, you're going to be stuck and you're not going to know how to explain it or draw it out. And I really thank him for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to get off the air because you guys only have a couple minutes left to go. I really enjoy your program. I try to tune in as much as I can.
Thank you. I was just thinking about one of the things I learned when we took this test to figure out our strongest learning style was that writing things down really imprints it in my brain. I was really glad I learned that, because I used to just try and look at sentences or, you know, read a passage in a book and just go, okay, how am I going to, you know, I want to memorize that, but then I'd read the next part. But just this little tiny bit of writing down, it's like it gets really etched into my brain. I learn so well, or I remember so well things that I have physically written out, which then I wonder about keyboarding. You know, it's like it's a different thing. I mean, I know that you're still producing the letters and the sentences and all that, but, you know, the handwriting is such a... an imprint on your brain, or at least on mine. And I was really grateful that I learned that, because it really helped me out, you know, because I didn't used to get why people took notes in classes. I feel like, well, I'm not going to forget that. But actually, just a few little notes can make a huge difference. And so we're about to run out of time here. So, Maddie.
What? You speak out.
Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools, Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at Sanborn at willitsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who expressed them. Youth Speaks Out is usually aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 2 weeks. That is September 2nd at 3 p.m., Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in September.